Other than that, go hog wild. Have fun. So, no, tonight we've got a very special show tonight. Not completely off the cuff, but with a little group of us have got together and had a little sort of throwabout of ideas. So I'm joined tonight by Patrick and Gary. Are you there, guys?
Yep. Yes, I'm here. It's Gary.
I'm here too. It's Patrick. Pleasure
right,
to be
welcome.
Here.
Welcome, yeah. Gents. We have got a show tonight basically revolving around protest songs versus propaganda songs, there being an obvious crossover somewhere in between. Both are used for both purposes, I am sure. But just to kick this off, so I know we normally kick off the Kerno Connection with a song. But I'll just give the disclaimer first, and that is, we here on the Not Kerno Connection reserve the rights to all our words and all our thoughts. We do this simply because it's impossible to reserve the rights to anyone else's, which is a thought worth bearing in mind for any practitioner of law. Here's a little clip for you guys to head the show up with.
But where do the rumours come from? Auntie BBC, the impregnable, pure, virgin-like British Broadcasting Corporation, which never told a lie. Never told a lie, my goodness. Read some of the news bulletins of World War II, und es treibt einen Schamrot in die Wangen. You can't help blushing when you read these reports. But this was the way that psychological warfare works. And I'm not going to put down psychological warfare, because psychological warfare is bloodless. And if the enemy falls to it, then so much more the fool they are. And we were better at psychological warfare than Dr. Goebbels. We told the bigger lies. And I think the biggest lie of the lot is the one that is still militating on now. Lügen haben kurze Beine. German Sprichwort. Lies have short legs. You can't stop a lie once it starts. I've said it often before. In wartime, the propaganda ministries, the ministers of information, they start this flywheel spinning. And it's natural. And everybody has an interest to keep that flywheel spinning. The BBC, the newspapers, the magazines, the generals and the ministers and the politicians. In the files of the War Refugee Board in Hyde Park, the ones I mentioned earlier, the ones who issued this atrocity report on the two Slovak Jews, most of the letters that come in the next few days are from other editors saying, please, we have reports of this. There's a letter from Yank magazine, which I take to have been some kind of soldiers magazine. The equivalent of Signal, probably. And Yank magazine editor writes to Mr. Morgenthau saying, please, can we have a copy of your report? We need all the atrocity stories we can get. I'm going to be quoting this letter because it is symptomatic of the way that it happened. But this propaganda flywheel that starts to spin and is finally at the end of any major war, like a 6 or 7 year war, like the Second World War, that is spinning so fast that nobody dares to go up and put his hand on it and stop it. Because why should they? So the wheel spins on with its own momentum. Anybody who puts his hand on the flywheel to spin it is going to get his fingers burnt. Rumours. But where do the rumours come from? Auntie BBC, the impregnable, pure, virgin-like British Broadcasting Corporation, which never told a lie.
So there you go, little introduction there. David Irving goes on to say that, we have, during the wartime, we were very honest. We had a ministry of propaganda, or at least Germany did. You know, after the war, there is no ministry for truth. So there you go. That sets the stage, really, for our use of propaganda music, etc., etc. Welcome, guys. It's great to have you both on for such a special show.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this one.
Looking forward to this. It needs something light-hearted. Hopefully.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got plenty of light-hearted stuff to stick on. So I suppose one of the first tunes I was going to roll with was a tune that was by a group called the Peerless Quartet, and I believe they were Canadian. And it was around 1916, 1917, this song came out. And it was, it was one of the first ever popular anti-war songs. 1915 it was bought out, but I think 1916 it was, it gained in popularity. So are you ready for this, guy? This is our first protest versus propaganda song of the evening.
Yeah.
And let's have a see what you think of this one.
To the war have gone, who may never return again. 10 million mothers' hearts must break for the one who died in vain. Heads bowed down in sorrow in her lonely years, I heard a mother murmur through her tears. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulders to shoot some other mother's darling boy.
The station's lover, race their future trouble. It's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers all would say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. What victory can cheer a mother's heart when she looks at her blighted home? What victory can bring her back all she cared to call her own? Let each mother answer in the years to be, remember that my boy belongs to me. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy. Let nations harbor face their future troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun away.
There'd be no war today if mothers all would say,
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy. Let nations arbitrate their future troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun away.
There'd be no war today if mothers all would say,
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
There goes a chirpy little one to kick off with. Any thoughts, lads?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary.
Quite. And, you know, these songs, I think, are probably very much hidden because we all seem to think that everybody in that era was pro-war because they were brainwashed by the system, but obviously not.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it seems like it is kind of an anti-war song. What do you think? What do you think about it, Mel?
It's definitely an anti-war song. I think it came out of Canada rather than America. But I think, you know, obviously it was in the time of Woodrow Wilson every time America has been to war, the first thing the president has always said is, I'm not going to send our boys to war.
Yeah. So, that kind of gets me thinking, because maybe it was kind of like that, where it's like, well, you know, a political type electioneering type song in a way. Like,
it could well have been. I actually hadn't looked that deep into it. I only know that it was probably it's listed really as one of the first sort of popular protest or anti-war songs.
And so, and Canada was still under British rule then, wasn't it, as well?
Yes. Yeah.
What was the name of the orchestra and band again?
It was the Peerless Quartet.
Peerless Quartet.
You're going to do a bit of digging on that, are you?
Yeah, I'll have to do a bit of digging, but I can just tell you by listening to it, because I've listened to a lot of records from that era. It seems to be on Victor Records, which was one of the main record labels at the time. There were only very few at that time. So the chances are that it was related to Victor. And there was a song I think I played for you some time ago about Casey Jones with Billy Murray.
Yes.
And he was backed by a band that sounds very much like the Peerless Quartet.
And
the song I'd like to play next was a song that Billy Murray sang in order to boost morale for people joining the military. It's a song called Over There. And
I've got that one in my list here.
Yeah, and it was recorded in 1918 by Enrico Caruso over in London at the His Majesty's Voice, which is gramophone recording studios by Fred Geisberg, who was originally an American who worked with Emil Berliner on creating the flat disc audio disc that
These are pioneers then in that respect.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it was a famous tune used to, like I said, to recruit people to get amped up to go to war. And they used that quite effectively as propaganda to do that. And the original version of this is actually done in 1917 by the Victor record label and Columbia. They both had it, both two competing record labels, but they both featured that same song, that same arrangement. So if you would go, if you have it available,
I will. I'm gonna spin that disc.
All right, Mr. DJ. Thank you.
Okay, check this out.
Johnny, get your gun. Back it on the run. Yeah, I'm calling you and me. Every son of liberty, hurry right away, no delay, go today. Make your daddy glad who have had such a lad. Tell your sweetheart not to find to be prouder boys in line. Over there, send the word over there. That the boys are coming, the boys are coming. The drum run coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer. Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we are coming over. And we won't come back, it is over there. Sacco do, Grangalo, Atarino, Clero, Urquino, Manco, Perto, Palomelo, Tua, Ocoa, Sanse, Tua, Urquete, Confera, Paranguer, Lanotier, Tata, Heise, Tua, Mirmir, Neta, Vepa, Par là-bas, quand le 10 sans méprise, par là-bas. Nous avons là-bas, le rap-la-pla du tambourba. Nous apprête pour la fête, bataillon, escadron, escantard. Se prépare, nul ne reviendra, sans avoir vu.
That's excellent.
Isn't it?
And I love it.
Did you catch that it was multilingual?
I did.
Yeah, I was going, oh, What's happened there? I don't understand that.
Yeah, the first part's in English, and I think the last part's in French. And I think what they're trying to do is get, because in America especially, but they're trying to reach an international audience to build up, you know, the allies being France and Britain mainly, that song was aimed at, and America. But I was looking up, in the meantime, the Peerless Quartet, and you'll find it interesting that they did that song, I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, in 1915. Yeah. But then they also did their own version of Over There on Columbia in 1917. So that same song, they went from I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier to Over There.
Wow. So like you say, it could well be one of those things that's it's there to stir something, whether it be patriotism or whatever, it's there to stir something and really, I suppose, help set the scene, the public imagination, the landscape of the public imagination, for up and coming events, you know? So
yeah. Yeah. And reading about this, they were also recorded early on in 1907 on Zonophone label, which is another Fred Geisberg record label. He was the one who helped start Abbey Road recording studio originally. He was the original technician. He had the technology and the know-how and they hired him to go over to London to set it up. And it was definitely used as a means of propaganda early on. And all of this music, up until just after World War II, I would say the Vietnam era really broke the major record labels' hold on music. And these record labels all had military ties and censorship, where during these wars, you could not sell records that weren't approved by the military in at least America, and I'm sure in your country as well, where you had to get an approval in order to get licensed and patented and all that, copyright, that sort of thing. At least from what I've read. Mm. Yeah, because it's very hard to find a real anti-war song that's recorded in that time period.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I'm hoping we won't find out by the end of the show that there's no such thing as a genuine protest song.
I think there is. I think there is, but it was broken later on.
Man. Sorry, Gary, what were you going to say?
I was just going to have a dig. You know, Bono, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's not controlled opposition in any way. No.
Maybe not when that came, that song, in the early 80s.
Yeah, that was one of his first singles, I think.
Well, it's one of the better, good ones, yeah, from the early 80s.
Yeah, I suppose you had the Boomtown Rats in that era as well, didn't you, with the I Don't Like Mondays song?
Yeah, that was about the school shooting, wasn't it? Yeah,
the school shooting in Ireland, yeah. Tell me why.
No, it was in Ireland, like I think it was in the US, actually.
Oh, was it in the US?
Yeah, it was on TV all at the time, because in the 70s, it wasn't so common.
No.
Yeah. And that was the girl's excuse when she shot up the school with her dad's gun, and they said, why did you do it? She said, I don't like Mondays.
When was this? This is a little bit before my time.
It was a band called Boomtown Rats in bed.
I remember them.
Sir Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof, Live Aid. Yeah.
Sir Bob Geldof.
He was in the Wall with Pink Floyd's Wall. That's another interesting.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For propaganda or making fun of propaganda, which is it, you know? Because Roger Waters kind of has that reputation for being a bit of a protest-type musician.
Yeah, he's quite genuine, but I think sometimes he's on the wrong track. But, yeah, I think he's passionate about what he does.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement.
Personally, yeah, I think he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember a statement he made regarding regarding the CEO of Facebook. It was rather derogatory and went viral.
for he's a got himself of weeks. In some right shit, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He really has got his. I believe there's certain groups of people making films about him and all sorts at the moment. So, yeah.
It goes to show that these musicians really have a platform once they're given it. They have political power in a way that a lot of politicians don't. And a lot of people make the comparison that politics is basically rock star, you know, made up of rock stars that are ugly people, you know, that don't.
I shouldn't have an opinion.
Yeah, failed rock stars that couldn't make it.
Gary, yeah. Have you got a song for it? Your turn next, old boy. Have you got a protest or propaganda song for us?
I'll save my favourite one till later, but obviously we've got it's quite an old one and it's a bit laid back. It's the Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? I'm sure that was about the Vietnam War.
Okay. Have I been sent that one?
Yeah, it should be in the chat there, private chat on the StreamYard.
Okay.
Do you want me to send it?
That's all right. If I haven't got it straight away, I will get it downloaded. Or Patrick, if you could download it and just drop it to me while I've got these bits here in front of me. I haven't got it in my list at the moment.
Okay.
I'm just trying to have a little look through. Was there an? I'm sure you've sent at least a couple.
I mean, I sent the Ever Seen a Man Cry, the BBC recording.
Okay, let's have a little look at that one. Where are we? There we go. That's the one with Johnny Neal and...
The Starliners.
Okay.
Do you want me to give a bit of background to it?
Yeah, that'd be great if you can.
Okay, Johnny Neal and the Starliners were a Birmingham band. Johnny Neal was going from the 1950s on local television, actually, in the late 50s, live afternoon shows. And he was really Birmingham's first rock and roller who brought American rock and roll music to at least the West Midlands, anyway. Birmingham. Anyway, he went on from there playing local, and then in about 1970, he got on a local national talent show called Opportunity Knock. And remember, there was only three TV channels in the UK at that time.
And
they used to get 19 million viewers. And the only other TV show that got that was Coronation Street, a big soap opera that's still going today, which I think they show in Canada. And they got 19 million as well. And it was big, and it was presented by a Canadian man called Huey Green. And anyway, they got on that. And they won it for 5 weeks, and they had a single off that. They got picked up by infamous manager Don Arden, the father of Sharon Osbourne, and he signed them up, got them a single out. And this isn't the single, by the way. This was the one they were going to have after, but they broke off from Don and Parlophone Records. And they recorded this at the BBC in about 1971. For local radio, and they used to use those sessions as demos. So for the local radio, because it was high tech studio.
Parlophone was the Beatles' record label.
Yeah.
George Martin's.
Yeah, they had one single on that. Johnny Neal. He's had several singles before that, and then he had a career. He went on his own and had a career in. So we met his wife in Zimbabwe. Sorry, Rhodesia at that time, and South Africa. So. They wrote this song. Is about Jeff Nichols wrote this, who went on to be keyboard player for Black Sabbath in the late 70s for 25 years.
Wow.
From 79 to 2004. And he wrote this song, and he's playing guitar and keyboards in this. And it's called Ever Seen a Man Cry, about a man saddened at the loss of his son to war. So there you go.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna spin the disc. Here we go.
Ever seen a man cry? Take one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was a really... I've never heard that song before. That was a really powerful tune. Love it. Absolutely love it.
It's an acoustic version, which Jeff did before, which is on my YouTube channel. A plug, plug, plug. Jeff Nichols Archive. So that's quite good. It feels different. You can get the sentiment.
So I guess at this point we should sort of... give a little bit away to the audience, and you have a bit of a connection to Jeff Nichols, don't you, the keyboard
yes
player.
He was my stepfather, the late Jeff Nichols, and I was just left of his archive, so that was my lockdown project. So I just bought a month before a refurbished four-track reel-to-reel TIAC, and then I started learning how to bake tapes and play them and transferring them to digital, and I went through his collection. So and obviously there's a small portion of it on YouTube channel. It's an ongoing project in different tape formats, so this probably take a lifetime, to be honest. But,
what do you mean by bake for the audience?
Old reel-to-reel tapes, reel-to-reel tapes in general.
Yeah.
If they're left in storage for a long time, the chemicals on the magnetic tape congeal, a bit like electrical tape. You know, if you pull electrical tape, it's quite, you know, it's got resistance, hasn't it? And if you have resistance in magnetic tape, then you strip the magnetic material off the plastic that it's coated on, and then that'll ruin the tape. If you bake it for 8 hours at a very high temperature, then you leave it to cool down, and it's normally that's enough, but you sometimes have to bake it. It depends on the brand of the tape. And then you can play it, and it's fresh again. And it's all the stickiness has gone. It's called sticky shed syndrome as well, because it sheds.
I think that would gum up the equipment as well, I suppose.
So yeah, if you put it straight onto a reel to reel, if it's been in storage for a long time, then the reel has got a danger of when it goes over the head, and you know, for the guidance spindles, it can just come off, and it's just flakes of it are all over the floor beneath it. So you have to be very careful. So
is there another way, like with magnets, that it can accidentally get erased?
If you leave it next to speakers and stuff like that, they in a box storage, that can really screw it up. Yeah, well, luckily I've never done that.
But what a privilege! So it's, you know, it's what a lovely project to have, and what a privilege to have that project to get on with. So that's great. So any listeners out there that are interested, obviously keep plugging the YouTube channel, because there's going to be some hidden gems on there, Gary. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you contact information then. Okay. Jeff Nichols Archive. It's GEOFF for Jeff. Nichols, NICHOLLS Archive. That's on YouTube. There's a fair amount of songs on there from different bands he's played with. What else? Yeah, and there's an email address on there if you want to contact me. It's just sugarrain44@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Well,
anybody wants a bit of advice? Oh, yep.
That was an excellent little tune to play as well, and one very close to home for you as well. So
there's another little story about that, but I don't want to really take the show over. But
no, that's fine. No, go ahead, because we've got plenty of time. We're at the bottom of the hour. We've got another hour and a half of this show, because normally it would be Shelley Tasker Show and then the Kerno Connection. And listeners out there that have just tuned in that were expecting Shelley Tasker, it's her birthday. Yeah. She's out. Painting the town red and wearing all sorts of traffic paraphernalia, I'm sure, by now. So bless her. So, I hope you're having a lovely time, Shelley.
So a few years ago, I was during the lockdown, I was in touch with Jeff Nichols fans, blah, 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 and I started the channel from Brazil, because he's got quite a big following in Brazil for some reason. And that, and one of the guys, I said, I've got this song, and we got talking. He said he loved the song. He said, do you mind if we cover it? And he got a load of musicians in Brazil, punk rock bands, folk bands, to do cover versions of Never Seen a Man Cry. Some of them in Brazilia. They got a techno, was it progressive house DJ who's used that line, Never Seen a Man Cry, on one of his tunes, and tested it in a club. And there was like a punk rock one, folk one. And There's a couple of those songs actually on the YouTube channel. They're cover versions in different styles. And got into the local newspaper. I think Johnny Neal, who's still alive in 88 and still as enthusiastic about music as he was back in the day, he knew a local journalist, so they got it into a newspaper, just plugged it, the tune, and say, and you know, had a t-shirt big in Brazil on his t-shirt. So that sort of cheered him up, you know, in his. So that was in the Birmingham Mail, Johnny Neal. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
It's live, it's all heritage. So, I'm a big fan of not letting stuff disappear down the wormhole, you know, as it is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the nice things about doing a show like this, because we're going to be my next tune that I'm going to bring out is from quite a way back, and it is well, it's not in the English language. Okay, so the next tune I'm going to be bringing up was brought out. Okay, so it's called Njet Molotov. And it was a Finnish propaganda song composed during the Winter War to mock the Soviet invaders. So it was composed by two fairly famous guys in Finland. And they recorded it in 1942 with a group whose name I can't pronounce because it's in Finnish. So basically the song ridicules Foreign Affairs Minister Molotov, comparing him to Nikolai Bibrikov, who was the Tsarist official who was murdered for his attempts to institute Russian policies in Finland. So the chorus lambasts Molotov for lying more than Bibrikov himself, in response to Molotov's justifications for the invasion. While the rest of the song mocks Soviet expectations of a smooth conquest, it also derides Joseph Stalin and other charlatans, quote unquote. So there is actually a modern day version of it that I haven't even thought to dig out and bring up for the show. But since the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, obviously there's one that's been brought out in 2022 called Njet Vladimir. But anyway, I'm going to play you this one. So basically, you'll hear the main drive of the story is essentially, you know, that no Molotov, you lie more than Bibrikov.
Is this is Charlie and his orchestra?
No. This is a Finnish song. So the Winter War, you know, at the beginning of the Second World War, when Russia invaded or attempted to invade Finland, and failed miserably. This was a propaganda song from over there, from Finland. So, and it's mocking Molotov, the Russian foreign minister at the time. Okay, so I'll let this one play. And one of the things I really liked about this tune, although you can't understand the lyrics, obviously if anyone wants to know what the lyrics are, by all means, just go to YouTube, type in Njet Molotov, and you will find a version of it there with the lyrics translated to English, which are rather amusing to read. But one of the things I really liked about this song is you can hear the mocking humour in the singer's voice as he's singing it. So I'm going to let this one play and see what you guys think. Here we go.
Finlandia, Finlandia, sinne nyt matkalla ompi Iivana. Kun Molotovi lupasi, on kaikki haroshi. Huomenna jo Helsingissä syödään maroshi. Njet Molotov, Njet Molotov, valehtelit enemmän kuin itse Bobrikov. Njet Molotov, Njet Molotov, valehtelit enemmän kuin itse Bobrikov. Finlandia, Finlandia, siellä olisi Iivan alla dobra sapuska. Mut Suomi viepi viljan, karjan kaikki pois, jotte ruski Iivan alla leivän pala ois. Njet Molotov, Njet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Njet Molotov, Njet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Finlandian, siellä olisi kauniita likuskia. Mut Suomen poika musta sukka meitä luimimas. Ei se päästä Suomen tytön luokse friiamas. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Finlandia, sinne me tarjottu on Sovjet Svoboda. A finski durak poika, kaikki duraki. Ivana ne komentaa nyt rastvadri. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Finlandia, sinne pääsee Iivana nyt sotavankina. Ja pienen palan maata he ehkä täällä saa, sillä Suomessa on Iivanoitten hautausmaa. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov. Anjet Molotov, valehtelit enempi kuin itse Bobrikov.
That's a bit of fun, isn't it? You can hear the humour, you can hear the mirth.
I was just reading it along with it in English.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It's quite funny, huh?
It is quite
Tomorrow
funny,
we'll isn't? Already be eating ice cream in our Helsinki, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love the fact that you can hear the mirth in his voice when he's singing, and he's obviously turning to the guys behind him when they, you know, and smiling at them and raising his arms, and they're joining in, and you don't have to understand all the lyrics just to get the feel of the song, and that was lovely.
Yeah, and you can tell that they're mocking the Russians in the tune too, because I don't think that's a traditional Finland.
No, it's a tune. It's a traditional Russian tune.
Yes.
Well spotted, Patrick. Well spotted indeed. Yeah, brilliant. What did you think of that one? I think that's probably.
Yeah, it was great.
That's one of my favourite ones that I've stumbled across recently, because I always dig for these sorts of things. You know what I mean? I love digging, going down rabbit holes with these sorts of things. So, that was a fun one to stumble across. Patrick, is your shout next, old boy?
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking we should play is a song by Carson Robinson from 1941. And it's another song that is promoting going to war, and it was written and performed about a month or two after Pearl Harbor, and you'll have a better understanding of the atmosphere that was being promoted at the time to get people amped up to go and fight for World War. You know, fighting in the war, because before that time, Americans were kind of on edge. You had people like Lindbergh had a chance to become president, and he would have kept us out of any sort of alien conflict. But they had Pearl Harbor, and then that kind of changed it, changed okay. the whole. Whole tone think, of the country.
I think I know the song you're going for. Would I be? Would
it's called. It's called "We're Going to Have to Slap the Dirty Little Jap."
Okay. I thought that was the one you were going to play. Okay, folks, hold on tight to your seats. You'll enjoy this one. Although I have to say, I don't think you'd get away with releasing a song like this nowadays. So interesting song. Here we go.
Not in the Western world, anyway. You may do in other countries.
Yeah, maybe. Okie dokie. Yeah. Right, I'm gonna spin the disc, folks. I'm gonna spin the disc. Here it comes. ¶¶
We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. We'll skin that streak of yellow from the sneaky little fella, and he'll think a cyclone struck him when we're through it. We'll take that double crosser to the old woodshed. We'll start right on his bottom and we'll go to his head. When we get done with him, he'll wish that he was dead. We've gotta slap a dirty little Jap. Uncle Sam's a man who's given a helping hand to many a foreign land, don't forget it. But when somebody goes to tromping on his toes, they'd better guard their nose or they'll regret it. We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. The Japs and all their hooey will be changed into chop suey, and the rising sun will set when we get through it. Their alibi for fighting is to save their face for ancestors waiting in celestial space. We'll kick their precious face down to the other place. We gotta slap the dirty little Jap. We're gonna have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. I wouldn't fool you, mister, he can raise an awful blister, and somebody's pants will burn before we're through it. We'll reach across the ocean and grab that yellow Jap and turn him upside down right on democracy's lap. We'll blister his axis and do it with a snap. We gotta slap a dirty little Jap. Uncle Sam is mild, as peaceful as a child, but never get him riled or you will rue it. So now they want to fight. Well, they've bit off quite a bite, and Uncle Sam is going to make them chew it. We're going to have to slap the dirty little Jap, and Uncle Sam's the guy who can do it. 'Cause it really is a feature when he starts to be a teacher. We can show you several pupils who've been through it. Uncle Sam believes in the golden rule, but when he's double-crossed, he's got a kick like a mule. We're warning Hitler's true that Sam's a fighting fool. We gotta slap the dirty little Jap.
There you go.
That is, I was laughing my head off there at some of the lyrics. Wow.
Yeah, we can show you several students who've been through it, I thought was a great.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
There's about chop suey in there as well.
Yeah. Hooey. Yeah. Hooey is a Russian word, actually.
Chop suey. Yeah, okay.
Hooey is a Russian word for the male genitalia. By the
way. I didn't know that.
We get grabbing by the hooey and turning to chop suey, I think.
Obviously, you know, it's we're laughing at the lyrics, folks. We're not laughing at the subject matter per se. But the you'd never get away with writing that now, would you? Crikey, you'd be hauled over the coal.
I'm just trying to think here in that. Yeah, when was the last protest song apart from U2's Sunday? There was Zombie, which was not a direct anti-war because it was to do with the IRA troubles.
Still a protest song. It still falls into the criteria.
I mean, but there's not many, are there anymore? I mean, that was 1992 or something like that, or 90-something, yeah, early 90s.
One that I will be playing later in the show, towards the end of the show, will be the Monkey Boy Sings song, because that's very very relevant to recent times. I can genuinely say that's definitely one on the list that we've got here this evening that's in front of me so far, because the list isn't complete yet, folks. I'm still getting stuff sent to me left, right and centre. But I can definitely say so far that's definitely one of the songs that is a genuine protest song. Interesting stuff.
But as far as a popular protest song, I can't really think of one that
I can't think of one the last 40 years, actually. Not in the last 40 years.
I think the Dixie Chicks
tried it, then they got threatened. They got threatened, didn't they? Yeah, because it was an anti-Gulf War song.
The Dixie Chicks,
Yeah, and they got threatened by the record label, by Clear Channel, who owned they were the promoters, and they owned venues, and they owned the radio stations, said, you know, we won't play it, we won't book you. if you don't take that song down or whatever it was.
Oh, so is the song available?
We'd have to look
it up. Song was.
If so, we'll get it on the show. Yeah, I was going to say, if so, we'll try and get it on the show.
I don't know if they had a song. I don't know if they had a song or they were just protesting against the wall. I'm not sure.
They were using their stage presence to protest the war directly. Yeah, I remember that vaguely, but
yeah,
I don't remember a particular song.
No, I don't either.
Okay, yeah.
They may have. Like I said, it's been a while since I've heard it, if I did, because I do remember that. They did make a big protest about it. And it got poo-pooed by the media.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because Clear Channel owned the venues. They were the promoters. I think they've become Live Nation now, but they owned the radio stations. They said, we won't play your songs. You won't be booked.
So not much has changed since World War One, eh?
Nope.
Or any of these. Yeah, not much.
No.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
It is. Yeah, very telling indeed. So... right, so I think we're back round to you, Gary. What's your next song choice?
Marvin Gaye, I think. What's going on? Maybe for the anti-Vietnam protest song, I believe.
Right, let's
see. You've got that lined up?
I have. I've got it somewhere. There it is. I found it. Okie dokie. So, yeah, this one's... So I suppose we should have a debate at some point as to whether they are real protest songs or not, you know? Yeah.
I think Marvin Gaye was.
Well, here it rolls anyway. That disc is now spinning.
Brother, what's up? This is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I can
dig it.
Stop right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister,
oh, what's going on.
Right on.
God, that was so chilled out. I don't know whether I want to carry on the show now. I think we could just sit back and put it on repeat.
Yeah, I like a bit of Marvin Gaye, right?
Yeah, that was very chill.
That was quite a subtle way of protest song, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And that's not one. That's not one of his that you. It's not like a real mainstream one, that either, is it? I would say.
I think it may have been at the time, but you know, the powers that be have got a way of not making it mainstream. If you know what I mean? The Vietnam War was going on at the time, so.
Yeah. The 60s is a real minefield. So the talking about the protest versus propaganda and all that kind of thing.
I think that one was...
The 60s is a real minefield.
But I think that was early 70s, that one. That album.
Yeah, and the Vietnam War would have ended around 74.
Yeah, which, 74, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, there you go.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, because when I was thinking about this, you know, potential stuff for this show, the 60s obviously is full of tunes, but it's such a minefield when it comes to, is it a genuine protest song or is it a propaganda song? Especially when you sort of consider the David McGowan book, the weird scenes inside Laurel Canyon. And the fact that, you know, all these bands sprung up out of nowhere, just in one little tiny little place. And obviously, you know what it's like. If you've got, I remember growing up in the Newquay area in Cornwall, and there were certain little pockets, areas where people would just gravitate to do particular things. And if it was a particular beach for particular beach parties that was renowned for people bringing instruments down, then that's what you did. So there's no conspiracy really in the fact that Laurel Canyon was popular for musicians, but there is a lot of dubious sort of circumstances surrounding Laurel Canyon, and the usurping of the peace movement in the 60s with the use of free love and LSD. And I recently read that. That chaos book that was revolving around Charles Manson murders.
And,
almost certainly, well, it definitely, an MK Ultra asset, and it was MK Ultra that was doing all the experiments with LSD in the first place and all that kind of thing. So, it was just to sort of say, really, the 60s, if people are sort of listening to this thinking, oh, why haven't they got this song on from the 60s? And why haven't they got this song on from the 60s? It's actually because it's quite a minefield as to, who was producing what for what reason. When you think Jim Morrison's father was responsible for the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which kicked off the Vietnam War, and then you think, oh, hang on a minute, no wonder he was really anti-war. And then you think, well, hang on, they were all living where they were living. All of them had similar sort of backgrounds.
It's almost like Jimi Hendrix wasn't he ex-forces as well?
Yeah. What was it you were talking? Me and you were talking about Johnny Cash a little while back.
Johnny Cash was he ran code in Germany, intercepting Russian messages related to the military. Yeah, he was working for the U.S. military, and as a radio operator, and he was the first person to find out that Joseph Stalin had died outside of Russia.
That's interesting.
And he relayed that back to the allies or whoever it was at the time.
Yeah.
He was involved with the military early on in the 1950 era. So, yeah, and then he ended up working for Sun Records and then Columbia. Yeah. But definitely. Definitely, most of these, there's a lot of military overlap between the musicians and especially the Vietnam, just prior to Vietnam and Korea and that sort of, the war in Korea, the forgotten war.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a lot of what he was dealing with was, at the time, they had Korea going on, and the Russians were involved with North Korea supplying them, and he was over in Germany intercepting those communications between Moscow and Pyongyang. And that's how he found out about Stalin.
Right. Well, that's rounded up, actually, the first hour of the show. I'm going to use the break to play my tune, my next tune. There's no reason really why not. It's pointless having a break and playing a tune and coming back and playing another one. We're just going to be playing lots of tunes tonight anyway. So for you good folks out there, you're listening live to speakfreeradio.com. Thanks to the good folks over the pond. You're listening to me, Maleficus Scott, and my guests, Patrick and Gary. And this has been a fantastic show. I'm really enjoying just going through the old tunes and shooting the breeze, as you guys say over there, regarding the subject matter. So it's good. Okie dokie. So my next song is going to be it's going to be another one in a foreign language, folks, but it's my last one this evening. Foreign language one, so you'll be able to understand all of them. So this comes from World War II. It's an adaptation of an older song, but it's a partisan song from Northern Italy. One morning I awakened, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao. One morning I awakened and found an invader. The song goes on basically to say, my partisan brothers, carry me away, death is coming, and you must bury me beneath this lovely flower. And then when people go walking in the mountains, they'll say, what a beautiful flower. That's basically the crux of the tune, lyric-wise. Obviously, it sounds an awful lot better when they sing it rather than I describe it. So I'm going to leave you with this for the break, and we will be back in a few minutes, folks.
Una mattina mi son svegliato, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Una mattina mi son svegliato, ho trovato l'invasore. Oh partigiano, portami via, oh bella ciao, 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 partigiano. Portami via, che mi sento di morire. E se muoio da partigiano, oh bella ciao, 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 ciao. E se muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire. Mi seppellirai là su montagna, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Mi seppellirai là su montagna, sotto l'ombra di un bel fiore. Oh sotto l'ombra di un bel fiore. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Sotto l'ombra di un bel fiore, tu mi devi seppellire. E le genti che passeranno, passeranno, diranno tutti che bel giorno, ma che bel fiore, il partigiano, ma bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 che bel fiore, il partigiano, che è morto per la libertà.
Hey! There we go.
Welcome, hey!
Welcome back. Yeah, hey! That was great. I love the passion. It's so Italian, that song. It really is. It doesn't get much more Italian than that, does it?
No, it went silent. Mediterranean. I didn't hear anything.
You couldn't hear it? Oh, that's too bad.
No, I couldn't hear it. So I've got the lyrics up. It looks great.
Oh, that's a shame. I'll have to send you a copy after the show, Gary. That's awful.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it, no. You just disappeared.
It kind of sounds like a Gypsy King song. Some similar type of flavor, where Mediterranean style type music.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, just
something
just
you can
one
dance
guy.
To. Dance yeah, music.
Just, yeah, just yeah, one man and a guitar, occasionally okay, clipping his, heel, his Cuban heel on the floor, or his, you know, his Italian heel on the floor.
What have I lost you then? It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know. You have dropped out a couple of times this evening, just literally momentarily, not long enough to warrant saying, oh, could you say that again? Because we picked back up, if you get what I mean.
Oh, okay.
So it could be connection issue your way.
Yeah, I'm hardwired in. That's interesting.
Okie dokie. Right. Well, Patrick, that bounces it back round to your turn
for the next song. Okay.
For the next song, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking I sent a bunch of songs, and we're not going to get to them, obviously, in the time we have.
I have uploaded them all, so you could, nearly all of them, actually.
well, the one I'm thinking of is quite interesting because it's a satirical song making fun of the fact that religion gets used as a means of motivating people to go to war. And this is something, you know, I think Peter Hitchens has written a book about this, this phenomenon of suddenly, you know, there's no real religious movement, and then they need a war, so they need to get people involved in it, and they go to the churches, they go to the pastors and the priests, they try to motivate them and use Christianity as a means of motivating people to war. And one thing very interesting, and this is kind of a plug for an interview I'm hoping to do soon with John Barber on John F. Kennedy, because the fact that Kennedy was the first Catholic to become president was quite something, because most presidents before that, or all presidents before that, were Protestant. And something about the Vietnam War, the last prime minister, Ngo Dinh Diem, he was the last prime minister of the state of Vietnam before the war and until 1963, about the time that Kennedy was assassinated. But they used religion as a means of getting people involved in it, and Catholics in particular, I think, here were quite strong at the time. If you know, the fact that they were going to have a Catholic president of the USA, and then they used the fact that we need to go and support this other Catholic leader in Vietnam and get the boys motivated to go and fight another war like they did in Korea. So if you would play, and this is actually interesting because it's a Brit that sings this song, and it, according to the record label, it says that sold for medical supplies to all Vietnam. So when they sold this record, it was to purchase medical supplies going to Vietnam. And it's right. Ian Temple, Vietnam Prayer.
Okay, I've got that one right here. So here we go. Spinning that disc, spinning Patrick's disc. Here we go.
This song is dedicated to the Vietnam Hawks who go to church every Sunday. Kill the commie for Christ. If you can get her yet, that's all right. If you meet a red, better leave him dead. If you want to keep in with the Almighty, drop some napalm for God. You can be certain that it pleases. And remember, Yankee boy, when you're off to bomb Hanoi, it's for LBJ and Jesus. Oh, when it's peace, 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 religion's just a bore, Christianity's for suckers and the poor. But when it's war, 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 and danger is around, the prayers start going up as the bombs start coming down. The usefulness of God then cannot be denied. God's the chap we want upon our side. The Prime Minister dispatches a message up to heaven. Come back, God, for all is forgiven. With God on our side, we'll win the war. For war is what God is for. God's support is worth a regiment of tanks or a loan from the international banks.
God is worth a division of Marines. God is worth Templaris submarines. God's our secret weapon when on warfare we are bent. God's our independent deterrent. With God on our side, we are sure to win. God will help us do the communists in. Oh, peace on earth and earth in pieces. Thy kingdom come. God bless us as we drop the bomb. Kill the commie for Christ. If you can get her yet, that's all right. If you meet a red, better leave him dead. If you want to keep in with the Almighty, drop some napalm for God. You can be certain that it pleases. And remember, Yankee boy, when you're off to bomb Hanoi, it's for LBJ and Jesus. Onward, Yankee soldiers, in the Vietnam War, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Wow. That's the best one tonight so far, has to be said.
Yeah, that's something else. Yeah. When that has got to be one of my favorite.
Who was singing that?
It's his name on the record is Ian Temple, and I've tried to find who Ian Temple is. I think it's he wanted to be anonymous.
It sounds like Noel Coward almost.
maybe it is. I wouldn't know because I don't know. I don't think I could pick out Neil Coward's vocals.
No,
I haven't listened to enough of it.
Mad Dog's an Englishman. Only go out in the Midday Sun. I think that was one of his songs. It was a very renowned actor. Yeah.
It definitely was an anti-war song, though.
That was definitely a protest song. That was definitely in the protest song genre. Definitely. There was nothing government-motivated about that. At least, unless it was the opposition.
Exactly.
True, though. What the lyrics of the song are so, you know, like you say, most of the time, particularly here in the UK, none of the media are interested in God or anything like that. Yet when you go to war, it's God's on our side, man. God's on our side, and it's like, really?
I remember that with God? The Ukrainian thing. You'd see these British politicians going into Ukrainian Christian churches and get their photos taken with photo opportunity. Yeah. It's definitely a thing, and I think Hitchens is kind of right on that. He calls it. He wrote a book about it, so I hope to read it sometime because I kind of like him. You know, I don't agree with him on everything.
Is that Peter Hitchens?
Peter Hitchens, yeah.
I've got his The Phony Victory book. That's well worth a read. It's particularly well worth a read if you've got like. If you don't want someone that wants to go too heavily into the subjects of World War II. But there's a lot of truths in there that, you know, are undeniable. It's not like heavy work like David Irving or anything like that, but it's certainly a good one to give to your parent or your uncle, for sure. Right. That said, we're back round. You got back just in time, Gary. I take it you did a reboot to see if you could get
that. Yeah, I had to do a reboot, yeah.
So you heard that last bit of music then, obviously.
I heard the last half of it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. So, it's working again. That's the main thing. It's pointless you putting on a song if you've got to sit there in silence while we listen to it. What's your next choice then, old boy? What do you fancy on next?
A a bit more modern one. Zombie by the Cranberries. There's a little story behind that song.
Go on then. Give us a little bit of the story.
It was the March 20th, 1993. It was in Warrington near Liverpool, and I think there was two bombs in the shopping streets in Warrington went off by the planted by the IRA, and one exploded outside a McDonald's and a Boots, the pharmacy, the drugstore, and I think it was a three-year-old boy, Jonathan Ball, it says here, died at the scene. He was out in town with his babysitter, shopping for a Mother's Day card. And the second victim was a 12-year-old boy called Tim Parry. He was wounded and died later in hospital. Anyway, Dolores, the lead singer of the Cranberries, you know, was quite moved by this and decided to write a anti-war song, anti-IRA, I think. It was anti-war, to be honest. And it's quite, if you look at it and look at the video, it's quite a moving song, actually. It's quite angry as well.
Yeah, I remember when this came out, that made me want to buy their album. That was such a powerful song.
Yeah, they're a good band, actually. All right. Now, I saw them before they were famous. I saw them in it was a powerful song. And I saw them in a pub playing support in a little pub in Birmingham, like at 150 capacity. It was on the circuit. And I remember seeing them there and having a drink with them after this. And about 18 months later, they were playing the local arena. They were famous. And that was quite interesting.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, when the Cranberries hit, it was a beautiful summer when the Cranberries hit the mainstream, because I remember being outside. I lived in staff quarters at the time for one of the local hotels. Yeah, easy way for a local kid to move out of home is just move into staff quarters in a hotel. It's really cheap. It's really cheap, and if you work in the kitchens and stuff, it's not hard to get your meals either. So, so that's kind of what I did, and I remember that year. I lived on the ground floor in this building. I had a huge bay window which went out, looked out over the lawn and straight out to the Atlantic Ocean. Just a road and a cliff. That was it. So that was all that was in front of me. And I remember that summer having that album on so much with glorious sunshine and it was such a great summer. That it really was a great summer that album came out. So okay. Well, I'm gonna spin this disc then. So this is Zombie by the Cranberries. Here we go. Great to be playing this one.
happen?
I've no idea.
That's one way to end it.
Zombie with a really strange interlude in the middle that I've got no explanation whatsoever for.
What was that? Deutschland, Deutschland, Uber Alles in the middle of it. What was that?
No, it was back to that Caruso song from over there.
Yeah, that was odd. That was odd because I've got no way of mixing things like that on StreamYard. You press play and leave it go and hope that it does its thing on StreamYard. Apparently, it had other ideas halfway through the song.
No, Gary, that's like the last protest song that I can think of in close to our time.
In the mainstream. That was released 19th of September, 1994. And that was their biggest hit.
Those Irish, they sure can write a song.
Oh, yeah. And the voice, as well, wow. Some expression in it.
God rest her soul, in fact, because she passed away recently, didn't she? Fairly recent, in recent years.
Yeah, she did.
Well, great song choice. I'm going to throw a spanner in the works now, and I'm going to say, right, is this one a protest song or a propaganda song? Answers on the back of a postcard, folks. Send it into Patrick. Send it to Patrick, not me. I know what I think. All right, here we go. Guess what it is yet?
Can't hear it.
The time.
There we go.
Midnight Oil, was that? Yeah.
Midnight Oil, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure who thought that he could be the lead singer in that. I mean, I remember that from back in the 80s, and I didn't remember it sounding quite as bad as that, but wow.
As bad?
What? Do you think the lead singer's got a good voice, do you?
Well,
it's adequate.
It's adequate for a protest song. In a protest song, it's a group usually leading a chant of some sorts to protest.
Well, maybe I'm just ridiculing for no reason then. I mean, obviously.
I think he was somewhat quirky about him. He was a lawyer.
Could be.
Really?
Yeah. He's Aussie. Yeah, he's an Australian band.
I think he was still practicing when I first got the hit. Yeah.
It must be an Australian band. Yeah, that's why I said. That's why I said. Have you guessed what it is yet? That's why I said that at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. You are very good. Very good. Yeah.
Although I probably shouldn't say that. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. God, that's almost a British phrase, there, isn't it?
Hey, now then.
All right, yeah.
Wait, what's that? What's almost a British phrase?
It's the Australian term. Have you guessed what it is yet?
It's
Have I guessed what it is?
It's from a guy called it's called Rolf Harris in Australia.
Oh yeah, yeah. Time kangaroo down spot.
Well, yeah, and he's sort of a disgrace now. The other one was the catchphrase of Jimmy Savile's. Now then.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Another disgrace.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
BBC celebrity.
Have you guessed what it is yet? Came from a show that Rolf Harris used to do, whereby he would
because he was an artist.
He had a 20-minute show or 25-minute show where he would show three cartoons, and to introduce the cartoons, he'd draw a picture of one of the characters from one of the cartoons. I can't remember what the actual program was called, and so basically you're supposed to guess what type of cartoon, whether it's Tom and Jerry or whatever, come in next by what Rolf's drawing. So he used to have this little catchphrase: "Have you guessed what it is yet?" Because as he'd be drawing it, you'd be trying to guess what the cartoon was. So that's where that came from.
Hence the inside joke. Yes. Being an American.
Oh, no, we have to explain it. For different cultural references.
Thank you.
Obviously, there was a big push. Well, it's interesting you say he's a lawyer, because there was a big push at the time that song was brought out. There was a big push in government in Australia for, sort of this, more rights for the Aborigines, etc., etc. So it was just I just think it's very interesting timing with the song. The fact that you said he's a lawyer is even more interesting. But that's why I...
let me just look that up, because I'm sure there was.
That's why I posed the question.
Let me look.
Real protest song, or is it a propaganda song?
Yeah.
I think it's a protest song.
Well, it's a protest song, yeah.
But a bit of both, I imagine.
It's very, very well produced. I'd be interested to listen to what the rest of the album sounded like.
Well, what is it protesting?
It's protesting the fact that the Aborigines have had all their land taken off of them, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, because that was another thing in America at the time of Vietnam, was that, we got to protect them from the encroaching... colonialists and all this kind of stuff, the Soviets coming in and all this, and they'd use comparisons of the Native Americans, and you'd have people dressing up like Native Americans, like Marlon Brando and all these other people going to award ceremonies to make a statement about how the Native American Indians had their land stolen, and we have to fight for justice and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
Answers
on the back of a postcard, folks.
Send them
to Patrick.
I'll sort through the mail.
I've already made my decision.
Pick the good ones out and send them back to you, Mal.
Can't see anything about him being a lawyer. I don't know if that was a rumor. But he was president of the Australian Conservation Foundation. And he became a politician as well at one time. Interesting. He was quite active. Yeah.
Seems to be. Yeah, he had a number one in the UK, That's quite a feat for an Australian.
He was environmental minister as well, education minister. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it didn't help his voice any, has to be said.
No.
Anyway, Andy, so we're past the bottom of the hour now. We're in our final run. This has gone so quick.
Past third base.
Are past third base. Yeah. So Patrick, we're round to you. What have you got?
This one is an interesting title. It's the Keith Everett one, and it's called Conscientious Objector.
Gotcha.
Now, there's a bit of reason that I picked this one is my father was about the age of draft age at the time. He would have been 18 around 1972, and he never was called to be drafted into the military. And they, at a certain point, they ended the draft with, I think when Carter became president, he officially ended the draft. But he was concerned, my grandfather was concerned so much that they were going to escape to Canada if he were ever drafted.
Right.
But he would be officially what they'd call a conscientious objector if he couldn't get out of it. And that was a term they used so that you could opt out into a more peaceful office rather than...
Well, we used to have posters. We used to have posters here in the UK warning off people from being conscientious objectors. In the First World War, or the Second World War, or maybe both, probably both.
Ladies hand out, like, lilies or something like that?
No, they handed out white feathers.
White feathers? That's it.
Yeah, but...
To
shame them. And they would also... that even happened to people that had signed up but hadn't received their uniform yet. And you can imagine how outraged they were. We used to have a poster here of a gentleman sat in a chair wearing a suit, and he had a little girl sat on his knee, and he was looking ponderously at the camera. It was a drawing, but, you know, it was a cartoon. And the caption was, "Is Daddy, what did you do in the Great War?" You know, it's just trying to guilt people into, like, don't let down your children. Don't let down your children by throwing your life away in the trenches, you know.
Yeah, and if I, you know, if he had been in the trenches, I might not be here. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it's the way I would look at it as well. Okay, so conscientious objector, here we go. Spinning that disc, Patrick.
All through our history, there have been that kind who sit here at home while others are dying. They're sitting here safe and secure while someone else is willing to endure the fight, the crying, the pain, and the dying for these fools. They call themselves the conscientious objectors, but all they're trying to do is trying to infect us with their fears and their shame. They hide under the name of conscientious objectors. They might as well be defectors. They act. Well, keep it up, boy, the way you've been going. And who can tell, son, you've got no way of knowing.
That was, yeah, that was fairly blunt and to the point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You may as well be defectors the way you act, you know. So that's like saying, you know,
wow.
You may as well just go and join the other side so we can shoot at you, you know.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, straight to the point. So, if you can add any more to that,
it was fairly concise, wasn't it, in its description?
Yeah.
What was that again? And
I had looked up that record label that was released on. It was called Tempting, and there was only a few other artists that were on it, and one was called The Seeds of Euphoria. It was the name of the band, which is interesting reference to probably the poppies over in Vietnam. But they had a song called Let's Send Batman to Vietnam, and they would they would advertise it in the Batman comics. So these were all meant for young
have you got
teenagers.
A copy of that?
I do have a copy of that.
Well, we're probably not going to have time tonight, but we're going to have to do another one of these shows.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is fun.
We're going to have to
sure.
do.
And the Vietnam thing is interesting. I'll kind of plug what I'm going to do with John Barber here coming up. I'm going to do a podcast interview with him. And he had a show. He considers it the first one of these reality television shows called Real People. And it's from back in the early 80s. On network television here in America, and he would go to all these. He'd get all the news feeds coming in that nobody wanted to take as news headlines, and he would go and interview people like man on the street style. But apparently, that show was instrumental in getting the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington D.C. built with all the names of the fallen soldiers from Vietnam. Mm. So he's got that. To his credit, and I look forward to this interview. Hopefully,
yeah, I'm looking forward to this interview as well. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I've been following this little trail for a little while. So, yeah, you better come up with the goods, Patrick. You better come up with the goods, man.
Yeah, we've been talking. His wife has had some health problems, and he's 90 years old, Gary. Yeah. So he's. Wow. He's holding in there. He's doing pretty good. He's still sharp. So
yeah.
I hope I can get a hold of him and do this interview.
Yeah,
I've been talking back and forth with Chad. Yeah. But that you know, someday soon here.
Fantastic. Right. Well, Gary, we're round to you.
Okay. It's quite a long one, so you can if you can fade it out.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're here for for playing the tunes.
I don't want to hog the show, but anyway, it's a cliche, and everybody knows it. War Pigs, Black Sabbath.
Yeah, we could probably fade out on the long instrumental. It's a good song.
Towards the end, yeah.
That's all right, because I said that I would play out the show with the Monkey Boy Sings song, because that is the most
protest. Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
So it doesn't matter how long it takes. If there is time, I have got a song that I was going to play, but if it gets to the point where I may as well just put on the other one, I'll put on the other one. So that's fine. Or you can just poke me with a stick when you want me to fade it out. That's not a problem. So...
Okay.
Here we go. War Pigs, folks.
gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Darkness world stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour, day of judgment God is calling. Underneath the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay. We could have let that go for ages, but yeah, great tune. What a classic that is. So, protest? It's definitely not propaganda, is it?
It's interesting. No, that was never made into a single. But it was on an album. It was not the first Paranoid. Yeah, I wonder why. They didn't want that coming up.
Yeah, I think it was.
Not at that time.
That's 1970, that is.
Yeah. That's quite something for 70, that the distorted guitars, the metal sound for that era. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very bluesy, that song. Where, like, imagine, blues artist singing that as well, to an extent, especially the beginning.
Well, yeah. I'm going to. We've got 9 minutes left of the show. One thing I would like you two to do before the show finishes, preferably now, would be some shameless self promotion, i.e., getting that YouTube link out again, Gary, and Patrick. Where can we find your? Where are we going to be able to find your interview?
Yeah, Gary, why don't you go first, sir? Or I can go first. That's fine. I'm going to be doing a podcast called I Remember, and I hope to do it kind of interview style, similar to Timothy Kelly's Interesting Times podcast, where you just one-on-one interview. I used to listen to, back in the day when I would listen to NPR, National Public Radio, which is like our BBC, I would listen to this interview show with Terry Gross called Fresh Air. And she was good, but she's very not. I've gone a 180 on my opinion of her. And I don't think I really had all that high of an opinion of her politics to begin with. But I like the style where it's just a sit-down style of interview with somebody and ask them about their biography. And find out more about them, because that's how you get to know somebody, is their biography. You can only get so far with celebrity and what the press says and the media and all that, and they make stars. It's the whole Hollywood star system. I don't want to really do that. I want to do more of like a biography style of their life and their life's work and what they were passionate about and what they're still continuing to be passionate about. But that's, I'm going to call it I Remember, in honor of Donald Jeffries, who was my first guest when Maleficus and I hosted for The Fetch. Yes. One Saturday quite a few months ago now.
A little while back now. So yeah. where are we going to find that? Is that Speak Free Radio, or is that...
It might be on Speak Free Radio. I haven't decided yet where exactly, but I know I'll have it on my Telegram page. It was t.me/windmillerradio. So if you go to t.me/windmillerradio, you'll come up with my Telegram group where I post every day new articles that disappear in a day. Just everything that's in my, my thought process and what I find interesting on the interwebs, the internet. And I save the good bits and leave it for anybody else to decide if they like the articles and music that I post there. But I'll be posting it there and keeping it there so that it'll be more permanent. And I might even have a site set up on speakfreevideo.com. I have an instance there where I broadcast to. And so speakfreevideo.com. is where I'll be, and that is also under Windmiller. If you look under Windmiller, that's the handle I typically go by. I'm also in BB9's chat, Frederick C. Blackburn's chat, that he has for his Snack Shack, it's such a tongue twister, Snack Shack on Saturdays. He has a show called the Snack Shack. But if you go to BB9 Trading Posts, plural, BB9 Trading Posts dot chatango.com. Chat and go. It's spelled chat and go. So bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. And you can find me there in chat. So if you want to chat with me, that's where I'll be.
Okie dokie. Brilliant. Fantastic. So, Gary, that YouTube link again, please, if you can.
It's Jeff Nichols Archive on YouTube. Jeff with a G, E-O-F-F, and Nichols with two L's, Archive. And if you want to drop me a line, it's sugarrain44@gmail.com, sugarrain44@gmail.com. Yeah, I want to go back to just one more thing I forgot to mention. If you don't put tapes in a normal oven, they have to go into a food dehydrator if you're ever going to bake a tape, a magnetic tape. So there you go. That's it.
I'm so glad you got that in at the end there, Gary, because that's not a minor detail. You can envisage all these people popping their reel-to-reel tapes in the oven and coming back to a...
Mel, we have less than 30 seconds.
Oh, really? Okay. Okie dokie. Right, well, I'm going to play us out. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to what was not the Kerno Connection at all on speakfreeradio.com. Shelley will be back next week along with my good self on the Kerno Connection. So, yeah, thanks for listening, folks. And thank you, Gary and Patrick, for joining. This has been an absolutely great journey, and I've got so many more songs to play. So we're going to have to do another one in a month's time or whenever we get a chance. Would be great.
Okay.
Gary, I know you're a busy man. As is Patrick, but let's do it again.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Guys. Okay. Right. Take care. Catch you soon.